So today we're reading from Madhyalila. That's Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, in case anyone's new. Madhyalila means the middle section, chapter 9, text 99 through to 102. And 102 is on the board, so I'll read 99. The Brahmana continued, "Actually, I see only Lord Krishna sitting on a chariot as Arjuna's charioteer. Taking the reins of his hands, he appears very beautiful and blackish. While seeing Lord Krishna sitting on a chariot and instructing Arjuna, I am filled with ecstatic happiness. As long as I read the Bhagavad Gita, I simply see the Lord's beautiful features. It is for this reason that I am reading the Bhagavad Gita, and my mind cannot be distracted from this." Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told the Brahmana, "Indeed, you are an authority in the reading of the Bhagavad Gita. Whatever you know constitutes the real purport of the Bhagavad Gita." Purport. According to the Shastras, Bhakcha Bhagavatam Grahyam Nabuja Na Chatikaya. One should understand the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam by hearing from a real devotee. One cannot understand them simply by erudite scholarship or sharp intelligence. It is also said, Gita Ditta Cha Yenapi Bhakti Bhavena Chetasa Veda Shastra Puranani Tena Dittani Sarvashaha. To one who reads the Bhagavad Gita with faith and devotion, the essence of Vedic knowledge is revealed. And according to the Shvetashvatar Upanishad 6.23, Yasya Devi Para Bhaktir Yata Devi Tata Gurau Tasyate Katita Yarta Prakashanti Mahatmanaha. Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. All Vedic literatures are to be understood with faith and devotion, not by mundane scholarship. We have therefore presented Bhagavad Gita as it is. There are many so-called scholars and philosophers who read the Bhagavad Gita in a scholarly way. They simply waste their time and mislead those who read their commentaries. Prabhu kohi gita poti tumara e adhikara tumi se janaha e gitara artha sara. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told the Brahmana, "Indeed, you are an authority in the reading of the Bhagavad Gita. Whatever you know constitutes the real purport of the Bhagavad Gita." Om Ajnanatimarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagra Jata Sahagana Raghunathan Vitangs Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parichana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Lalita Shihara Shri Vishakan Vitangscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Brinda Vinishvari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanshakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I seek the blessings of all the devotees present, so many senior devotees here. If I mention one of you, I'll have to mention all of you. And that's practically everyone. So please bless me that I can hopefully say something that's relevant, something that's stimulating, it's pleasing to the acharyas. Prabhupada once said, first Kurukshetra Leela, then Rasa Leela. He was referring to the sahaja tendency to go to the intimate pastimes. So if someone's advanced, then they find the Bhagavad Gita to be ecstatic. If one doesn't like the Bhagavad Gita, then one's so-called advancement is false, because the Absolute is one. Krishna in Kurukshetra, Krishna in Rasalila, it's the same Krishna. It is said that even in the residence of the gopis, they have depictions of Krishna killing the demons. So what has demon killing got to do with the gopis' relationship with Krishna? But the point is, when you love someone, then you love all of them, you see. So this Brahmana, now let's get the background to this. So Lord Chaitanya, he's traveling. Why is he traveling? Because he's spreading Krishna consciousness. That's his business. Ragamarg, Bhakti Loka, Kuriti Prachar. His external reason is to spread the Ragamarg, which means Raganuga Bhakti. His internal reason is to taste the love of Srimati Radharani. So he's traveling through South India, preaching, converting people. He's converting the Sikhs, the Jains, the Buddhists. And he's visiting various temples, showing the perfect example and spreading the holy names and converting people to Vaishnavism. And in the process, he comes to Sri Rangam and he meets this Brahmana. And this Brahmana, everyone's laughing at this Brahmana because the Brahmana cannot read properly. So Shuddha Shuddha Gitapadi, Guru Agyamani, he says, I read imperfectly or perfectly. I don't know what I'm doing. Sometimes I pronounce it correctly, sometimes I don't. But I'm doing it on the order of my guru. This is what the Brahmana tells Lord Chaitanya. And one of the messages we get from this pastime, as we know, Lord Chaitanya, he accepts that you are an authority. So he's illiterate, but he's an authority on Bhagavad Gita. So one of the lessons we learn from this is that we should follow the instructions of the guru, even if it appears to be impossible. Because with the instruction of the guru, and to follow that instruction, that then the one makes spiritual advancement. So the key to spiritual success is to follow the order of the spiritual master. So Prabhupada, he's repeated a verse. It was in the previous purport when Vrindavan Chandra gave class. He quoted the same verse. Yasya Devi, everyone together if you know this verse. Yasya Devi Parabhaktir Yata Devi Tata Guru Tasya Te Katita Yarta Prakashante Mahatmanaha. So this, as Vrindavan Chandra pointed out, Prabhupada said this is the most important sloka in all the scriptures. Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. So I'm not a Sanskrit pundit, but we do have a Sanskrit pundit in the audience. Maybe he can help. Yata Devi Tata Guru. I understand that means as to Krishna, who's Deva, Tata, so Guru to the Guru. The idea being we shouldn't think the Guru less than Krishna. The Guru is the representative of Krishna. It is like if you disrespect the representative, the ambassador to the king, then you're disrespecting the king. So we should have the same faith in the guru as in Krishna. We must have such full faith in the guru that we think the guru is the perfect representative of Krishna, and we shouldn't think Krishna's great, the guru's imperfect. If we have that understanding, false understanding, then all the imports of the Vedic scriptures are not understood. So the point about this Brahmana, he had full faith in his guru, therefore the import of the scriptures was revealed. That's how I understand the reason why Srila Prabhupada has put this particular verse in the purport. So there's a phrase in the scriptures, Shrutekshita Pata. Ever know what that means? Shruta Ekshita Pat. Tvam Bhakti Yoga Paribhavata Hrit Saroja Ase Shrutekshita Pato Nanunata Pungshong Yajadiya Ta Urugaya Vibhavayanti Tadva Papu Pranayase Tadanugrahaya Tadva Papu Pranayase. Do you know the version of this verse? Pranayasi. Anyway, Sadanugrahaya, the last line. Sadanugrahaya means by the mercy of the devotees. So this is Lord Brahma praying to Lord Krishna. And he says, those that see, this is interesting, those that see through Vedic sound, you know, for them, Lord Krishna is enthroned in their heart. And the Lord mercifully appears, yajyadhyā taurgāya vibhavayanti, as according to one's desire. So the Lord appears in many forms. We know the Lord has many forms. Avatara yashankiya. There's unlimited incarnations. And they appear according to one's internal desire. So the Lord, he appears to the devotee as the devotee wishes. And that is shruta ikshatapat, means he's seeing through hearing. So Prabhupada once said, the dog sees with its nose, the fruitive worker sees with the eyes, and the devotee sees through the ears. It's also true, if you want to recognize a pure devotee, you have to hear. If you hear someone speak, then you can ascertain their level of advancement. On the other side, you cannot recognize a fool until he opens his mouth, right? So this is a well-known fact. So ikshita pat is the... When Vrindavan Chandra was giving class yesterday, he was talking about the mystical experience that this Brahman is undergoing. That just by reading, one is seeing Krishna. This is... Our scriptures are mystical. And it's not only seeing, there's drinking. Pibhata Bhagavatam... Pibhata Bhagavata Rasabhavalayam. The third verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam states, drink the nectar of the Bhagavatam. Yeah. Pibantiye Bhagavata Atmanasatam Katamratam Shravana Putesha Sambritam Punantiti Vishaya Vidushita Shayam Brajanti Tatscharana Sarorohantikam. In the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that those that drink the nectar, Katamrita, those that drink the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam, they become purified of all their material desires and they attain the lotus feet of Krishna. So we've had the example of Shruta Ikshita, we can see through hearing. And then we have the example of tasting through hearing. There's also a verse in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam about smelling the lotus feet of Krishna through hearing. If I can remember it, it's... Ye tu, you know this one? Ye tu tvadiya charanambuja gandakosham jigranti karna vivarai shrutivata nitam bhakja grihita charana paraya chatesham naipashinata rirayamburuhat svapumsham. So this verse is saying that those that shrutivata nita, does it hear the scriptures, which is like vata means air. Shrutivata nitam, the Vedic sound is carried. It's like an air, a breeze. And then that breeze enters the nostrils. Then jigranti, one smells ganda kosham, the lotus feet of the Lord. So we have, see how the senses are all interchangeable. There's so much power in seeing that just through seeing, you can smell Krishna's lotus feet, you can see his form, and you can taste the nectar. And even there's some verses that describe how it's the Katamrita is cooling. So we have this sensation of cooling. So all the senses are engaged just through the process of hearing. So the hearing is the most important of all the senses for the Vaishnav, you see. We should never forget that. It's very important that we hear. And in the case of the Brahmana, he's not even hearing, he's reading. So how does that work? You read and then you have a vision. Whenever he reads, he sees Shyamasundar. So he's in ecstasy. He can't read properly. But Yam Shyamasundaram Achincha Gunasvarupam. The beautiful form of Shyamasundar is Hridayeshu. It's in the heart. So he can experience vision of Krishna. And that's ultimately what Krishna consciousness is. It's not about becoming a great pundit. If it was, we'd nearly all be depressed. Because how many of us have had the opportunity to... Have an education where we can learn Sanskrit when our brains are young and fertile and go through all this process. Some of the new generation, they're very fortunate. Radha Mahaprabhu, his children, they know lots of shlokas because he's taught them, and they are attached to reading, to studying and pronouncing all these shlokas. But generally speaking, we don't have that opportunity. Therefore, we are, if it really mattered, if that was all that mattered, we'd all be stuffed. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. This lovely pastime, this is Sudama, I think it's Sudama, Prabhupada disciple, and he said to Prabhupada, "No, my, I feel really uncomfortable. I don't know any shlokas. I've read the Bhagavad Gita a few times. I've not even finished the first canto of Bhagavatam, and I feel really bad that I can't really pronounce the shlokas. I'm not very intellectual." And Prabhupada chastised him, and he said, "No, you cook very nicely, and you speak nicely from the heart, and that attracts people. Don't complicate the process." So this process, reading, not even required, Prabhupada said. Now, what is our process? It's known as the Bhagavat Marg. Bhagavat Marg, there's four aspects to it: chanting, dancing, feasting, and philosophy. So we might be doing all four in Hampstead Heath today. We have Hampstead Heath, we have this lovely tree in Hampstead Heath, and we discovered it by accident. We were going to Regent's Park just when the first lockdown was finishing. We all went out, and Harry and I'm a group of us, and we went to Regent's Park, and then we got kicked out because we're not allowed there. So we went to Hampstead Heath, and we didn't get kicked out of Hampstead Heath, lovely big park. And we sat down under a tree, we had a blanket, and we had some books, and we had all the instruments, and we were singing. And I was absolutely ecstatic, because after, imagine what lockdown was like. Everyone was in their house, it was like a prison, people were going bonkers. Finally, it was nice sunny weather, and they got out, and they got to walk around, and everyone was in a really good mood. And the books were flying out, everyone was buying the books. The devotees were on the pathway, mugging people, and they were all buying books, because for 6 months or whatever, they hadn't even had the chance to see someone face to face. So we did that, and then we just started coming back again and again and again. So maybe 3-4 times a week, we were like going to Hampstead Heath, and it just became our little spot, you know. And it was just ecstatic. So we did that, and then that was several years ago. Last year we did it a few times. This year, because it's now sunny weather, thanks to Adi Guru Prabhu, his idea was that we would have Hampstead Heath Harinam revival. So it's at noon. We can send you the exact location. There's a car park on the west side, which is very close to the spot where we do it. And you're all invited. We can all chant Hare Krishna together. So this is the Bhagavat Marg: dancing, chanting, feasting, and philosophy. We even did philosophy because we would read one of the qualities of Krishna after everyone's... Everyone took turns in leading, and then at the end of every bhajan, we would read one of the qualities of Krishna. There are 64 qualities, so we'd go through and we'd read a paragraph from Nectar Devotion describing the qualities of Krishna. So Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati says that Krishna Nam, the chanting of the holy name, is not complete unless we also have Krishna Katha. Krishna Katha means we can also describe the qualities, the form, the pastimes of Krishna. So if we do both together, that is complete kirtan. And if we do it in public, 100 times greater. Naradiya Purana states that. The benefit is 100 times more if we do it in public. So you're all invited. And there's going to be chant feasting as well, because it's a picnic. So everyone's welcome to bring whatever they like. So Prabhupada said this is the Bhagavat Marg: dancing, chanting, feasting, and philosophy. But he also says, if you want philosophy, he said, but actually, if you just do dancing, chanting, and feasting, that is fine. So this Brahmana, he's not a philosopher, but he's an authority on Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada says he's an authority on Bhagavad Gita. It's funny how Prabhupada's book is called Bhagavad Gita As It Is, but his Bhagavatam is not called Bhagavatam As It Is. His Chaitanya Charitamrita is not Chaitanya Charitamrita As It Is, but we know that that's actually the case. And Prabhupada himself explains why he wrote the Bhagavad Gita. Someone asked him, "Can you recommend?" And he said, "I could not in good faith recommend a Bhagavad Gita." Therefore, he wrote this Bhagavad Gita As It Is, because Prabhupada is coming in parampara. So if we just follow the order of the Guru, which is what Prabhupada exactly did, then we have the potency. So this Brahmana, it's interesting, he's known as a Vipra. It's one of the purports, one of the verses he's described as a Vipra. Now, Veda Patad Vaved Vipra. It's said that a Vipra is one who has studied the Vedas. So why is this Brahmana called a Vipra? It said, Jammana Jayate Shudra, by birth we're all Shudra, Sanskared Bhaved Dvija, by Sanskara we become Dvija, twice born, Veda Pata Bhaved Vipra, by study we become a Vipra, and then Brahma Janatiti Brahmanaha, by realization of Brahman we become a Brahmana. So why would this illiterate Brahmana, why would he be called a Vipra? Well, my understanding is because he's a Vaishnav, and if you're a Vaishnav, then everything else is automatically included. He understands the real purport, therefore he's a Vipra in that sense. And because a Vaishnav is automatically a Brahmana, no, a Vaishnav realizes Krishna within the heart. A Brahmana may realize Brahman, but higher than Brahman, you know. The Brahman is simply the bodily effulgence of Krishna. Higher than Brahman is Krishna, Krishna himself. So this is why I understand that this Brahmana is known as a Vipra. So I'll discuss a few pastimes. One may ask, why is it that this Brahmana is feeling such ecstatic symptoms? One of the reasons is because he's seeing how Krishna is the servant of Arjuna. So Partasarthi is a name for Krishna. That means Krishna's driving the chariot of Arjuna. So, and it's said, I've heard this said, that during battle, in order to direct the chariot, the charioteer, or the person who's fighting, he would touch the charioteer with his feet. So does that mean Arjuna was touching Krishna with his feet? He was like, you want to go left, you touch one left foot or right foot, etc. Maybe it's the case. Anyway, the point is, it's the subservient position that Krishna takes towards his devotees. Now, I've quoted several verses from the third canto, and they have the same meaning. Naipashi nata hridayamburu hat svapungsham means Krishna cannot leave the heart of the devotee who has captured him. Now I'm going to read you some verses from Chaurastikam. This is a wonderful bhajan, which I never knew until recently. We do bhajans every Monday morning, almost every Monday morning now. It's in Prabhupada's room, and we might actually start doing it in the temple room. So I wasn't aware of this bhajan, but one devotee was singing this bhajan, and it's a beautiful bhajan, and it's about how we should capture Krishna in our hearts. Now, this is bhajan written by Bilva Mangala Thakur. So if you remember the pastime of Bilva Mangala Thakur, he unfortunately became enamored by a prostitute, but this prostitute had some common sense and said to him, you know, you should have attraction for Krishna. So he took advice and he accepted the prostitute as guru and said, I must develop my attraction for Krishna. So he headed towards Vrindavan, and on the way he became attracted to the wife of a Brahmana. And this Brahmana said to his wife, oh, he's a sadhu, you must fulfill his desire. So then he came, Bilva Mangala Thakur, he had this moment of realization how abominable his desire was. And he took the hairpin from this lady and he plucked out his eyes because he understood that his senses were causing him so much trouble. Uncontrolled senses. Said in Rupa Goswami says, Cheta Prangana Sangame Vijayate Savendriyanam Kritim. We simply chant Hare Krishna and all the senses will be pacified. So he gets to Vrindavan, he's blind, and then there's some boy keeps feeding him every day, gives him some milk. And then finally discovers who this boy is. Who's the boy? It's Krishna. So he's in love with Krishna. He's enshrined Krishna in his heart. And here's what he says in Chaurastikam. O thief, having stolen my wealth, my honor, my senses, my life, and my everything, where can you run to? I have caught you with the rope of my devotion. You cut the terrible noose of Yamaraj. You sever the dreadful noose of material existence and you slash everyone's material bondage, but you are unable to cut the knot fastened by your own loving devotees. O stealer of my everything, O thief, Today I've imprisoned you in the miserable prison house of my heart, which is very fearful due to the terrible darkness of my ignorance. And there for a long time you will remain, receiving appropriate punishment for your crimes of thievery. O Krishna, thief of everything, the noose of my devotion remaining forever tight, you will continue to reside in the prison house of my heart because I will not release you for millions of eons. Wonderful, isn't it? See the intimate relationship between Bilva Mangala Thakur and Krishna, that he can joke with Krishna like this. So it's said that Bhagavan Bhakta Bhaktiman, it's in the 10th canto. Does anyone know which chapter that's in? There's a famous verse. It means Bhagavan is the devotee of his devotee. Anyone know which verse, which chapter that's in? It's in chapter 86. It's when Arjuna kidnaps Subhadra. There's a description of how Krishna, because he's so attached to his devotees, he makes a journey to Mithila and he meets two devotees, Bahulashva and Shrutadev. And with his mystic potency, he simultaneously visits both their houses, although each one thinks that only Krishna is with me. Just like Krishna expands many palaces, all the queens are thinking Krishna's in my palace, but there's 16,108 queens and they're all thinking I'm with Krishna. This is the amazing potency of Krishna. So he visits Bahulashva and Shrutadev, and it said, Bhagavan Bhakta Bhaktiman, Lord Krishna, he has devotion for his devotee. So that is the wonderful quality of Krishna, that even though he's the supreme controller, he comes under the control of his devotee. Why? By the love, the ropes of love. So it said in the 11th canto, Visrijati Ridayam na Yasya Shakshad Harera Vashabi Hitopya Gauganash Pranaya Rasanaya Dritangi Padma Sabhavati Bhagavat Pradana Uktaha. The topmost devotee is one who has captured Krishna within the heart, even with his imperfect pronunciation, even though he may chant incidentally. Avasha means it's not even purposeful. Imagine that. So it's so hard to capture Krishna. We're all trying. We chant our japa and our mind wanders elsewhere. And then that's offensive chanting because it's inattentive. But when one has finally attained topmost devotional service, then even if one is not even attentively chanting, still Krishna is captured. He remains captured by the chanting of such an elevated devotee. That is the power of the devotee. Yemi bhakta jana partha nami bhaktas chatena naha. But bhaktanam chate bhaktas teme bhaktatama mataha. Those who say they are my devotee are not my devotee. Those who say they are the devotee of my devotee, they are my real devotee. This is from the Adi Purana. It's not the Adi Guru Purana. You written a Purana yet? The Adi Purana shows how one of the eight principles the Lord Chaitanya took from the four sampradayas, he took two from each. One of the principles is Vaishnav Seva. One should become the devotee of the devotee. You know, we shouldn't just become a devotee of Krishna directly. So the Adi Purana is stating this fact that if one says, I am a devotee of Krishna, they're not actually a devotee of Krishna, because a real devotee of Krishna is the devotee of the devotee of Krishna. You see? So Prabhupada would say, love me, love my dog, right? So the spiritual master, instantly Prabhupada says, you know, Krishna is very hard to approach. But then the spiritual master, you simply please the spiritual master, and then Krishna is automatically pleased. So Prabhupada in this humility says, I am Krishna's dog. See, so if you see a rich man, billionaire walking down the street, if you nice to his dog, then immediately this billionaire will be nice to you. You see, you want to get the favor of the billionaire, you be nice to his dog. So if you want to get the favor of Krishna, you have to be nice to the guru, who is the representative of Krishna. And it says, Jeevi Shakshad Nahi Tati Guru Chaitcharupa. Shiksha Guru Hoi Krishna Mahant Swarup. In the Adi Lila, first chapter, it says, we cannot access Krishna, the Chaitcha Guru. Very difficult for the Jiva to access the Chaitcha Guru. Therefore, Krishna appears as the Guru. The Guru is the external manifestation. So every morning we sing, Sakshad Harit Vena Samasta Shastriya Uktastata Tadbhavat Evyasadbi Kintuparboya Priyavatasya. Vande Guru Sri Charanarvindam. It's an interesting verse because it's saying, Shakshat Hari, the Lord is directly, sorry, the Guru is directly the Lord. But then there's this word, Kintu. What does Kintu mean? What does the word Kintu mean? But. We're saying the Guru is directly the Lord, but Priya Eva Tasya, he's the servant of the Lord. So we have to remember both conceptions simultaneously. Now, I have a soft spot for Christianity, and I like to visit churches a lot. When I go for japa walks, I sometimes go to the churches, because ultimately Jesus is a very powerful personality and he can touch everyone's hearts. And there's a sense in which I don't mind too much if Christians say that Jesus is God and they leave it at that, because it's partly true. We say the Guru is God, but the Guru is also not God. It's both. Of course, Jesus says that he talks about the Father. So who is the Father if he's talking about the Father? But for me, I don't personally mind if Christians say Jesus is God and they leave it at that, because they have a relationship with Jesus, and we say Shakshat Hari. In fact, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he has two conceptions, and we hold them simultaneously. Yajapi Amara Guru Chaitanyara Das Tatapi Jani Ami Tanghara Prakash. Although I know the Guru to be the dear servant of Lord Chaitanya, I also know him to be an expansion of Krishna. So we have to see the Guru as simultaneously servant of Krishna and as Krishna. Unbelievable. There's even a phrase, Krishnara Swarup. The Guru is the manifestation of Krishna, Krishnara Swarup. So that's the wonderful elevated quality of the Guru. And the whole point about this pastime is this Brahmana, he had that faith in the Guru. And because he has that great faith in the Guru as simultaneously the servant, of course, at this time, at first, the Brahmana doesn't know that Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, but he realizes his ecstasy doubles when he has the conversation with Lord Chaitanya. So the Brahmana concludes, I conclude that therefore you are Krishna. So what did he see his Guru as before that? Maybe he saw him as Krishnara, the Krishnadas, servant of Krishna. So the Guru is simultaneously the servant of Krishna and the manifestation of Krishna. He's the external manifestation of Krishna. So let's talk more about some of the pastimes in the Bhagavatam that illustrate how the Lord is the devotee of his devotee. So we have the example of Sudama, another Vipra. So he's very poor. Right, poor Brahmana. Then he purchases Krishna. He just brings some chip rice and he purchases Krishna. And it's actually said the goddess of fortune stopped Krishna from taking too much, because she realized that if Krishna eats more of what the Sudama Brahmana is giving, then Krishna will become completely controlled. And then she'll have to, like, the goddess of fortune will have to become the servant of the Brahmana. She's thinking this way. So she stops Krishna because she understands Krishna is easily purchased just by devotion. They have these wonderful pastimes. Now Krishna, I mentioned how Krishna, he went to the house of Bahulashva and Shrutadev, and he took prasadam there. We have the example of Vidura. So Vidura, Krishna went to Vidura's house, and in Vidura's wife, she's in so much ecstasy that she was throwing away the banana and giving the peel to Krishna. So Krishna was eating banana peel, and he was finding this ecstatic. But this same Krishna would not go to the house of Duryodhana. Why? Because he's not a devotee. So Duryodhana was going to give a big feast for Krishna, but Krishna said, no, I'm not going there, because ultimately it's all about devotion. So if you have loving devotion, then you can offer, like for example, of Sanatana Goswami, he didn't even have any salt. So he's making his little rotis without any salt. But that's, Krishna's like in ecstasy. He gets to eat the unsalted rotis of Sanatana Goswami. At the same time, we go to so many restaurants. There's so many restaurants in London. The food is so nice, but it's actually not offered to Krishna, so we wouldn't eat it. So this is an important point. Prabhupada says, we as devotees, we don't go to restaurants. Unfortunately, some of us do. So I don't go to restaurants. I have my other faults. I won't tell you what they are. But I don't go to restaurants, and I don't want to go to a restaurant. But some devotees, they like to go to restaurants. So we have to be careful. We shouldn't do this because it's... what is it said? Dushtamanahoy. Vishayera anna koila dushtamanahoy. If we eat the food that's been cooked by the Vishaya, means by the Dushtahoy. Yeah. Dushtahoy hoilaman. That the mind becomes impure. So we want to know where do our material desires come from? Well, ultimately, if we eat impurely, then our minds will be impure. What is that one? Thank you. Yes. So there's a purport where Prabhupada explains we cannot be pure in our mind unless we're pure in our habits. And to be pure in our habits, we have to be pure in our eating. So if we eat purely, ultimately, and it may take time, if we all go on a prasadam-only diet, which is what we're supposed to do, it may take time because we still have these desires in our heart. And these, it's called kuta and bija. When we perform sinful activities, we get an inclination known as kuta, and then it develops into an actual desire, which is bija. And then we act upon that desire, and then we get sinful reactions, but we get more desires. So with this cycle of desire, Lord Rishabdev explains to his sons, a madman, nunam pramata, pramata means a madman will engage in sense gratification, which simply leads to repeated birth and death. So if we're going to be Vishaya Chariya, we sung this bhajan, Vishaya Chadiya Kabi, Shuddha Hobby Man, the mind will become pure when we give up the sense gratification. So we should understand sense gratification is our enemy. It's good in the beginning, but ultimately it is our enemy. And because it is our enemy, well, because it's keeping us bound in the material world, it is stopping us from thinking of Krishna. Now, we don't think that way when we engage in sense gratification. If we eat some unoffered food, or we go to the movies, or we go to the restaurant, we listen to music that's not devotional, we're not thinking, I don't want to experience Krishna. We think, I want to remember Krishna, but right now I don't want to, so therefore I'll just do something else instead. And then we think, later on I'll remember Krishna. But that's not how it works, because when we fill our minds with other stuff, we cannot think of Krishna. So there's a price to pay. So any intelligent person will think, I don't want the consequences, therefore I'm not going to do that. So karma's like, someone once gave me the example, you know, if the front of the car comes past you, then the back of the car is also going to come past you. It's obvious, right? Same way, whatever actions we perform, the reaction will come. It's not like it won't come. It will come. It's just like the front and the back of the car. It's obviously going to come. So we all know that, you know, it's sometimes said, material life is hard. Or as people say, spiritual life is hard, but material life is impossible. Yeah, it's impossible to be happy in the material world. So spiritual life is hard, but what's the alternative? The answer is that there is no alternative. Now, we live in a very liberal society. If you were living in a strict, you know, Muslim society, you know, if you did something wrong, you'd have your hand cut off. Small transgressions by our standards, like stealing, adultery, in our society, adultery is so common, and it's like not even a big deal anymore. But in some civilizations, some countries, you know, it's like, it's a very, very, very serious thing. But the point is, we should understand that it is very serious. All sinful activity is very serious. It's a very serious transgression because it stops us coming to Krishna. Now, we're kind to each other. You know, Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Patra patra vichara, nahina hastana stana. There is no consideration of who's qualified and who's not. Therefore, we give Krishna to everyone, and at the same time, we forgive people when they don't come up to standards. But for ourselves, we should think to ourselves, you know, the laws of nature are very strict. Prabhupada says, you know, the six aggressors, if you steal property, you kidnap someone's wife, etc., set fire to a place. I mean, some of these things, you know, the stealing and adultery is common in this society, but actually say they're transgressors and they should be killed. Imagine that. Imagine we had to kill people like that. So we should learn from that, that actually it's really, we should be very serious about our own behavior. I'm not the perfect example, but we should be serious about our own behavior. And in our hearts, we can think, although anything goes in our modern culture, as far as people's, you know, morality goes, ourselves, we should be strict, and we should understand that we're living in a mad society. And in many ways, society, even go back 100 years, a lot of the moral system was superior, even in this country, in many ways. In some ways it wasn't, but in lots of ways it was, you know. So we have to, like, understand that this material sense gratification, it does have consequences on our spiritual life, and therefore we have to be very serious. And I mean, for me, spiritual life is like when you wake up in the morning, you don't want to get out of bed, right? So what you can do is you can either think about, I don't want to get up, I don't want to get up, and then an hour passes and you're still, I don't want to get up, and then you finally get up and you have your cold shower anyway. So it's not like you avoided it. You didn't avoid the shower, but all you did was you wasted 1 hour. You could have got up, done it straight away, and done something more productive. So spiritual life, we shouldn't be like that. We shouldn't be thinking, you know, I don't want to do it. I'm going to mix my spiritual life with material life, and I'm going to go year by year, decade by decade doing that. We're just like the person who doesn't want to get out of bed in the morning. Ultimately, there's something that has to be done, therefore we do it now. We just say, no, I'm going to do it now. One time, Radharaman, he was giving class here, and he explained the meaning of the word sankalpa. So kalpa means what? A day of Brahma. Sankalpa, a vow should be so strong that it will last not only one day of Brahma, but every day of Brahma, trillions and trillions of years. A vow is forever, for eternity. If we had that, if we took little vows, if we were able to make our own vow. Now, Prabhupada doesn't recommend that we make excessive vows in Kali Yuga. We should vow to chant 60 rounds, follow the four regs, etc. But if we could just make little vows and actually keep them for eternity, then just a few vows will make rapid spiritual advancement, because it will create an environment where we're free from the sense gratification, and therefore we'll be able to access the spiritual taste. And that's this bhajan. We sung this bhajan by Narottam Das Thakur. It's all about, when will my material desires become insignificant? And if we're in the mode of passion, we just don't want that. We're attached to our material desires. It's okay, having material desires is natural, but should we be attached to it? If we're attached to it, then our philosophy is in the mode of passion. We actually value that taste, and we want to keep that spiritual, that material taste forever. So this is the problem we have. Anyway, I'll conclude. I'll maybe speak 5 more minutes. I'll talk about the insignificance, or the non-essentiality of being a scholar. It's a nice topic. I like this topic. There's a famous verse in the scriptures in the Katha Upanishad: "Nayam atma pravachanena labhyo namida yana bahana shritena." Yamevashi vrinati tena labhyastaishasya atma vivrinuti tanam svam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is not obtained through pravacha, which means being a good speaker or hearing a good speaker. Medha means intelligence. So Prabhupada sometimes explained that as scientific expertise, like the modern scientists. That's medha. And bahushruta means, you know, lots and lots of shlokas. You know the scriptures really well. None of these things will gain you Krishna. It's whoever he chooses. You see? So it's just a matter of choice. Krishna chooses who he wants to reveal himself to. And it's impersonal to think otherwise. So you can imagine, try for a minute, just put yourself in Krishna's position, just for a minute. So suppose you're hearing someone talk and they're saying, for example, let's talk about Mahimarnava Prabhu here. So suppose Mahimarnava's hearing someone talking and they're saying, you know what, if you get up at 4 a.m, then you will get Mahimarnava's mercy. If you read the book about Mahimarnava, you will get his mercy. Mahimarnava's thinking, no, that's a process, but that it's ultimately my choice. I will reveal myself to whomever I choose. Don't reduce me to a formula. If we think by this formula we'll attain Krishna, then that's impersonalism. We've reduced Krishna to a formula. But Krishna's a person, and therefore he can manifest to anyone and everyone. And some people, the Kripa Siddhi, there's a term Kripa Siddhi means one has not gone through the process of sadhana, but one still gets the mercy of the Lord. So these things are rare, but they do happen. So we shouldn't reduce Krishna to a formula. You see? And it said, Svalpapi rucchireva syad bhakti tattva vabodhikaha yuktis tun kevalanaiva yadasya apratishtaha. Rupa Goswami says, to understand bhakti, all you need is ruchi. What does ruchi mean? Taste. All you need is taste. Svalpapi rucchireva syad bhakti tattva vabodhikaha. But if you're a great scholar, the word yukti is used for scholar. Now there's a term, shastra yukti. That's a different type of yukti. Yukti means dry scholarship. Yuktis to kevala. Kevala yukti. Just logic and nothing else. Yad asya apratishtaha, has no foundation. So Rupa Goswami said, and he goes on to explain, we all notice this. You can be a great scholar, but as soon as you come up against a greater scholar, then your arguments will be defeated. And then that scholar will be defeated by a greater scholar. So there's going to be all these unhappy scholars are going to be defeated. And there might be one scholar on the whole planet who no one can defeat, but he's happy, and everyone else is the unhappy scholar. So what's all this years and years of trying to be a scholar? You're going to be in anxiety because you're going to finally come up against someone who's better than you, and then your whole reputation will be spoiled. So we don't worry about these things. We just chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And finally we can come to the stage where we pick up the Bhagavad Gita and then we see Shyamasundar just by reading. Even if we can't read properly, even if we can't quote the Sanskrit slokas, because we have pure heart. If we have a pure heart, Krishna will manifest in the Bhagavad Gita. Okay, thank you for tolerating me. Hare Krishna. And I invite any comments, questions, reflections. Prayojana Prabhu's got a reflection or comment. Do we have the microphone? So just to remind you, it's noon. If you can make your way to Hampstead Heath, starting at 12 o'clock, we'll do sit-down kirtan. Prayojana Prabhu, Haribo.
The other day, we had some prasadam that was sponsored. And the sponsor insisted that we eat certain foodstuffs that were basically recommended by Sastra not to take, which is like the equivalent of meat.
Mm-hmm.
And Prabhupada, was thinking, how do we see this? We're really compromised, in the ashram and elsewhere, when the sponsor insisted on certain foodstuffs, that maybe like soya produce or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
What do we do about that? How should we see it? Because we didn't know at the time, that that's got soya chunks in it or whatever it is. You know, it's very, very difficult at times. And if you're rebel against it, if you say, look, I've just found out it's not offerable, what do we do about that?
Hare Krishna.
Chant Hare Krishna.
Yeah. I remember one example. Prabhupada took some of his disciples to someone's house, and then they actually were feeding onion. And one of the devotees said to Prabhupada, there's onion in the prasad. And he said, be quiet. And he, He said, but there's onion. He said, shh, there's no onion. So Prabhupada took this attitude. Because later on I heard, I mentioned this the last time I gave class, and someone told me afterwards, Prabhupada said, the people cooking should have been informed in advance about the our restrictions. So there's sometimes you are covered. Prabhupada, he didn't stop it. There was a social etiquette. But you don't have to take. If the person's going to be offended, okay, you may make a judgment. And the judgment may be different at different times. But I like to think that Vaishnavas are expert at speaking, so they can turn a bad situation into a good one by sweet words. So you can have your cake and eat it, so to speak, or not eat it. You can sweeten your guest, your host, and at the same time not take the food. You just have to know how to do it. But if you find yourself in a difficult situation, you just make a split decision, and Krishna will, because you don't want to offend people either. But yeah, Adi Guru Prabhu.
Thank you.
Oh.
It's a big topic, the scholarship and devotion and all this type of thing and that. Because in some shlokas, it says that the guru has to be heavy with knowledge. You know, he has to know the shastra and have a lot of knowledge. And so, you know, the Prabhupada wanted us to know the shastra well, to be able to preach and all these things. Mm-hmm. So, you know, is it... If you're able to do it, you can do it, but it's not that important, etc., etc. I mean, how do we...
Yes, how do we? How do we reconcile everything? So I just recently read a quote, I think it's on the wall, just as you go down the corridor, about Prabhupada saying that the books are the basis of this movement. So I've said, I gave an example where Prabhupada said, dancing, chanting, feasting, and if you need to be convinced, we have the books, we have the philosophy. And Prabhupada said, all these books are word jugglery just to get you to chant Hare Krishna. But then he's saying the books are the basis of the movement, so how do we reconcile? Now here's, in the verse, the term artasara is used. So sara means essence. We should become saragrahi Vaishnavas, we take the essence. So take the example of one guru in our line, Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. So he was illiterate, but he was saragrahi. He had the essence. So there's a nice pastime back to Santa Sarasvati he's Bimal Prasad at the time, I think. Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj asked him, what is in Srimad Bhagavata? He asked this back to Sanda Sarasvati. And back to Sanda Sarasvati replied, he laughed, he goes, everything I see in your character, it represents what's in the Bhagavata. So he's like the living Bhagavata. He said, there's two Bhagavatas, right? There's our Bhagavata Shastra, our Bhagavata Bada, Bhagavata Shastra. Our Bhagavata Bhakti Bhakti Rasapatra. Eka Bhagavata Bada, Bhagavata Shastra, Ar Bhagavata Bhakta, Bhakti Rasapatra. There are two Bhagavats. The one is, the Bada Bhagavat is the Shastra, the great, great Bhagavat, and the other Bhagavat is Bhakti Rasapatra, the devotee who has the rasa in the heart and is the embodiment of the Bhagavatam, who lives the Bhagavatam. He's a living Bhagavatam. You know, Prabhupada used the term living Bhagavatam, but if you study it he's saying, one whose life embodies the Bhagavat principle. That's a living Bhagavatam. So, yeah. Prabhupada said the philosophy is very important because you need to convince people. You need to convince people, and therefore it's very, very powerful. And it's also purifying. And so the guru should be able to convince people. But if you're like Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, just by your association you convince people. You embody it in your character, then that's powerful as well. So, yeah, what do you think about the whole thing?
Yeah, thank you, Prabhu, that's great. In the last thing you said about the scholars getting defeated, mm-hmm. Prabhupada tells the story of the Digvijay,
mm-hmm.
because there was four centres of learning in India at the time.
Okay.
And if you conquered all four centres, he had an umbrella, and Each time it had four sections on the umbrella.
All right.
So when he went to when the Digvijaya went to Navadvipa, he had three of them were gold.
Okay.
So the whole idea is to get them all four of them gold, and you're the champion scholar of India.
This Keshava Kashmiri.
Yeah. So when he went there, he had three, and Nimai defeated him.
Okay. Jai. He was mortified. Jai. So maybe we should take prasadam then. Buru Prasadam movement. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaura Premanandi. Haribol.